Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Pining for a video game franchise to return is one thing, but sometimes we get our prayers answered in the weirdest possible ways, with video games returning to market looking completely different or under the guise of something else. So let's take a look at them. As I'm Jules, this is WhatCulture.com, and these are 8 video game comebacks we finally got with a twist. Number 8. Conker returns for HoloLens. One of the most charming things about Rare's foul-mouthed mascot, Conker, was that he was quite unlike anything that had come before him. Sure, he'd started his days as an extra driver, likely used to pad out the selection in Diddy Kong Racing, but soon he was peeling out on his own adventure in Conker's Bad Fur Day. Fans and critics adored the blend of platforming action and puerile humor, and the blue content ended up making Conker a red-hot star. Problem was, though, is that Rare, for reasons entirely their own, did absolutely nothing with this poor chap after this stonker of a hit, leaving the squirrel to sit on his nuts for well over a decade. Things appeared to be on the up when Microsoft purchased Rare back in 2002, as Big M announced that they had plans for all IPs under their banner, yet nobody could have predicted that the company was going to use Conker in order to shift their ungodly abomination known as the HoloLens. This shaky step into mixed reality was handled about as well as Conker's redesign, who now went under the name of Young Conker, but to fans, he was more commonly known as, "What the hell have you done to my boy?" This sanitized and shoddy-looking iteration was routinely mocked, and thanks to the tech landing like a belly flop into a pool of rusty nails, killed Young Conker stone dead once more. Number 7. Crash Bandicoot returns in Skylanders. So the moment that Sony unveiled the PS4 meant that fans around the world began asking some pretty serious questions, not about the console specs or backwards compatibility, mind you, but a lower, guttural chant that sometimes rose at the end in a kind of quizzical tone. Crash? Crash? Crash Bandicoot? The rituals had begun. The prophecy had foretold the Orange One's return. Now, on this new console, surely Sony and whichever publisher was hot potatoing the series at the time would give us a brand new Crash Bandicoot experience, right? Well, the prophecy was correct, but not in the way that many were thinking. You see, while Crash is enjoying something of a renaissance nowadays, his first actual PS4 outing was in Skylanders as a piece of DLC. Yes, that's right, all those years waiting finally led to some of the most mediocre stages in the most mediocre expansion of the Skylanders series. Admittedly, the figures of Crash and company were pretty brilliant, but it's a wet fart experience to think that this was his return to the mainstream. Ah well, at least Toys for Bob came good on the concept of Crash years later. Number 6. Space Invaders returns to a dirty alleyway. When one thinks of the all-time classics that make up the pantheon of gaming gods, Space Invaders is most definitely part of that conversation, as its absolute domination of the arcade golden era was something only topped by other monoliths at the time, such as Pac-Man and Donkey Kong. Space Invaders presented a ridiculously simple premise. Shoot the aliens using your mobile turret before they chew through your defenses, and thanks to a rather fortuitous programming issue caused by the limited hardware, the less aliens that there were on the screen meant that they would move faster and faster towards you. What followed was pure brilliance, monstrous profits, and for some strange reason, a massive drought on progression, with numerous ports of the original being as far as the series looked to tread. With the likes of Pac-Man proving that fresh ideas could keep a series strong, it was strange to see such a giant gather moss. Although when it came to the 2002 reboot, I think that many wished that the franchise had remained buried, as ye gods, was this title a stinker. In fact, the foul gameplay and turd-smeared aesthetics seem to have come right from the dingy alleyways that the title seemed so thoroughly obsessed with, forcing players to battle next to bin bags against an alien menace. At least the title seemed intent on realizing how destined for the skip it was with these locations. Number 5. Silent Hill returns as DLC for Dead by Daylight. Ever since the almighty slice of horror goodness that was Silent Hill's playable teaser, or PT for short, which wowed audiences the world over with its tightly directed horror set pieces, even mentioning the words Silent and Hill together is enough to get horror fans salivating. Yet, due to Konami being Konami and Hideo Kojima being Hideo Kojima, their working relationship, as well as the Silent Hills project, was terminated with a pretty heavy underline. Therefore, fans of the series found themselves whipped up into a frenzy and then having no outlet for their horror needs. And let me tell you something, Konami, the pachinko machines, well, they aren't gonna bloody cut it. Still, fans did get a morsel of goodness, albeit in a rather strange way, thanks to another horror video game darling, Dead by Daylight, which provided a Silent Hill expansion featuring a playable Pyramid Head and Cheryl as a new survivor, as well as a new map to hunt and indeed be hunted on. It's utterly bizarre to see the Silent Hill IP presented in another title, especially after such a long time away from the series, but it's clear from this that fans are more than ready for a new mainline installment. Fingers crossed that Konami gets the bloody message, although seeing as we've basically tried everything bar smoke signaling them, it might be a long wait yet.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Number 4. Contra returns as an isometric shooter where guns overheat. I cannot tell you the number of hours that I spent playing Contra 3 Alien Wars on the SNES with my cousin, nor the amount of fun that I had doing so, as honestly, these were some of the most purest gaming experiences that I've ever had. The challenge, the relentless action, and of course the arguments over power-ups made this game so utterly exciting to play each and every time. And clearly, we weren't the only ones enamored with this franchise, as the title is renowned as being one of Konami's finest. However, that publisher name should start ringing alarm bells, because as I've already shown with Silent Hill, Konami handles their IPs with the delicacy of a surgeon trying to remove your kidneys using only steel-toe-capped boots, and they absolutely kicked the piss out of this series with their glorious return to form that was Contra Rogue Core. This game truly earned its namesake, as it went completely rogue when it came to things like, I don't know, the gameplay and aesthetics that fans expected to see. The isometric shooter perspective wasn't terrible per se, but unfortunately, it immediately marked the title as being part of a genre with a lot of competition, and many wished the title would have stuck to its 2D perspective as a proud reminder of its roots. Hell, thanks to the fact that your guns also overheated, titles like Dead Ops, you know, that jokey minigame from the Call of Duty franchise, actually did this style, and indeed this gameplay, much better. And what does that say about your game? Number 3. Dungeon Keeper returns as a terrible money-hungry mobile game. Despite being a title focused around being the bad guy, the Dungeon Keeper reboot truly was the work of the greediest devil going. This was EA swinging its heft around like never seen before, as in one of the most horrendous examples at the time, the company dredged up a well-known and indeed beloved IP and absolutely cut the legs off of it, and then had the cheek to sell it back to the fans. The original title was a darkly humorous management sim in which you played the big evil of the land, thwarting heroes and their attempts to stop you, as well as making sure that you were the top chef of Hell's Kitchen. Unfortunately, due to licensing handovers, the series was buried way before its time, leaving many to believe that the only way that the franchise would indeed return was through some shady dark dealings with an actual demon. Somehow, actually worse than this, EA took up the reins and immediately rubbed up fans the wrong way by placing the game on mobile devices and then having the gall to install one of the most horrendous paywall mechanics ever seen. Players weren't just encouraged to spend real-life money in order to shorten development time, but out and out barred from progression without it. To call this game greedy is an insult to the original sin, as this was somehow far, far worse. Number 2. F-Zero returns as DLC tracks for Mario Kart. The fact that fans have been clamoring for a new F-Zero since 2004 is actually ridiculous at this point, and it makes for a truly bizarre example where, because he's a mainstay in Smash Bros, Captain Falcon is going to end up appearing in more games outside of his own franchise than within it. The high-speed, high-pressure F-Zero games are still regarded as some of the finest and technically impressive titles out there, and with the Switch offering up a fair bit of processing power as well as a huge install base, it is maddening to see the likes of Deep Blue running so very, very dry. And this frustration made for a very strange moment when F-Zero content dropped for Mario Kart 8, as the DLC was handled so well and the course is so utterly addictive that it both scratched the itch but also aggravated even further, as we now knew that Nintendo still had the chops to pull off the standalone experience but chose not to. At this point, I'm not above begging. Please, can we have a new F-Zero game? And number 1, Shadowrun returns as a first-person shooter. For those that never experienced this ridiculously brilliant format, Shadowrun originally began life as a pen-and-paper tabletop experience, kind of like Dungeons & Dragons, except this time it's data hacking and doubling down on cybernetic augmentations, and you know what, it is still an utter blast to play. The early video games too followed this format, presenting a shockingly large amount of player choice as well as a hefty dose of sci-fi noir to chew on. All seemed well for the series, as positive reviews and sales seemed to suggest a long and healthy life, but the franchise was put on ice after the rather overlooked Sega CD installment that dropped in 1996. It wasn't until 2007 that we got another mainline entry, but it was a title quite unlike anything that fans had been expecting. For a start, the game was ditching nearly all of the RPG elements as well as the turn-based combat system, and instead was going to be a first-person shooter. This was going to be a Microsoft-backed experiment to see if cross-play between consoles and PCs was indeed possible. As you can imagine, fans of the original format were left completely adrift with this new experience, which sought to offer nothing that the franchise was known for outside of its cyberpunk cross-magic blend. Things weren't helped by the fact that the little experiment did indeed work a treat, but only if the result that you were looking for was console players getting boned by PC players over and over thanks to their faster aiming. As such, when it came to returning to the franchise again in 2013, Shadowrun adopted the addendum Returns to become Shadowrun Returns in order to show fans that the series was back to doing what it did best. Thank God.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.